in the study this week and where we are in the book of Acts, it is really the beginning of God showing the Christians that they need to reach out to the non-Jewish nations. Well, let's take a look at these scriptures. It's really a double emphasis that's given to the reaching out to the Gentiles in the book of Acts. Now, Acts chapter 10, if you remember, we had this last week, Acts chapter 10, that actually Peter was called to go to Cornelius's house, and Cornelius was not only a Roman, which was the enemy of Israel, but he was a Roman centurion, an officer in the Roman army, the head of 100 soldiers, and he was ready to be saved. And Peter, you know, had no idea that God was going to save him. He had no idea while he was even going there. He just knew that he had a vision that sent him there. And the Lord gave him something in the vision that we're going to read again this week in the first 19 verses of chapter 11 of Acts. That's a double emphasis on the whole idea that we are to reach out to all nations and accept all people and see every person on the entire planet in the eyes of Jesus, loving each one and desiring each one to come in. And that's why we send out missionaries. As the Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of all men. And so let's go ahead and read in the book of Acts this double emphasis on opening up hearts to all peoples of the earth. I'll get there to chapter 11. Now the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God through Peter and actually were baptized in the Holy Ghost. 6 Jewish people went with Peter to talk to Cornelius. And while Peter was still talking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of these friends and family and soldiers gathered with Cornelius. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied, and they were gloriously filled with the Spirit. And they're all just going, whoa, we should just baptize these guys. And they baptized them. Now Peter's got to go give answer back in Judea to the Jewish Christians, what in the world is going on? And so he reiterates the whole story, bringing that double emphasis. Now, in the Lord's Prayer, there's a double emphasis on forgiveness. And here in the book of Acts, there's a double emphasis on reaching out to people that aren't like you and people that are in other countries than you are. And it is God's focus to forgive, the double emphasis from the Lord's Prayer, and the double emphasis here of go, go, go. And this is what we do. So it says now that when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, the Jewish people, contended with him. They were arguing with him about this. What are you doing? Eating with Gentiles, speaking to Gentiles, giving the word of God to Gentiles, saying, you went in to men uncircumcised. Now, circumcision was a sign of being Jewish, and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw vision. And a certain vessel descended, as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by the four corners. And it came even to me. And upon that which I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And so the intention here is to show that this sheet was full of unclean animals. You don't eat these things. And I don't think I've ever eaten a creeping thing. Have you? I don't know. But I know that people do eat ants. I don't really think I could do that. You know, that's something. But it's just these creeping things were there. And this voice said to Peter, arise, Peter, slay and eat. And Peter is horrified, because this is against the Jewish law. You don't eat unclean things. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean at any time has ever entered my mouth. And so this was something that Peter was just totally grossed out by, that the Lord would tell him to arise and eat. But God is trying to make a point here. And so we read the point in verse 9. It says, but the voice answered me again from heaven, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. Don't do this, Peter. Don't disobey me in this, because I'm about ready to save the whole world. And I want you to help me. And I want you to be open to reach out to people that are not Jewish. And the whole point was right there. And Peter understood it. He got the point. And now he's trying to tell his brethren that he had this vision, and that he was given the instruction, what God has cleansed, let no man call common or unclean. And this is very important for us. And you know, there is a natural tendency for, as my grandmother used to say, birds of a feather flock together. And so different nationalities have tendencies to stay with that nationality, to communicate with that nationality, and to speak the language of that nationality, and just kind of shy away from one another. It's a kind of a natural way of thinking. And then some folks take it way too far and become prejudiced and start making jokes about other nationalities and other colors and so forth. And we know all about that, don't we? And it's just something that's kind of natural, especially when someone is your enemy. Now, I had an experience that God gave me on this subject in a very deep way. My father was in World War II. He was in India for 5 years over there during World War II. And my grandfather did nothing but raise me on war movies. And they were mostly to do about World War II. And I remember my uncle said that he wanted to kill a Jap so bad that he had his parents sign for him so he could go into the Marine Corps early, so he could have an opportunity to kill what he called a Jap. Now that is a derogatory term, and the whole nation felt that way because of Pearl Harbor, and it was just a different time. But I was raised under this kind of deal, that you should never buy anything Japanese, and these kinds of feelings. And so the Lord saw that in me, and the Lord knew that he needed to deal with that in me. And so I was in Hawaii with my wife, and I think it's the first time we hiked Diamond Head. And Diamond Head is the crater, or the volcano, the dead volcano that you see in the pictures of Hawaii. And it is so cool to hike. You guys, if you ever get a chance, hike Diamond Head. You actually go through a tunnel to go inside the crater of this extinct volcano. I think it's extinct. I hope it's extinct. And there's a parking lot in there. And you hike up the back of the mountain. And what it was during World War II is a gun emplacement. And so there's stairs that go through tunnels dug in the mountain to get shells up to this big gun that sat on the top of that mountain. So it's kind of an exciting hike. And so you get up there, and then you get a 360 of Oahu, the island of Oahu, and you can look down on the skyscrapers of Waikiki. It's really awesome. But when we got up there, we wanted to get a picture of us together. And we saw this Japanese couple. And as we began to, you know, ask them to take our picture, and then they said, well, can you take our pictures? And we got picture friendly, you know. And then we started just hitting it off. It was a divine appointment. It was from the Lord. And we knew that as we got into the conversation and so forth with them, that he had fought in World War II on the Japanese side. And I fell in love with this guy. and he fell in love with us, and we, I mean, it was just magic, you know, and we knew it was the Lord, and God was healing me from that bend that I had in my heart, that here's a man that's returned to Pearl Harbor area and with memories from the war from the other side. And me, an American boy, you know, with memories of all the war movies I watched with my grandpa of the American side. And it was really special as God did something precious in my heart and made me begin to realize, you know what? People are people. They're just plain people. And everybody needs Jesus. And we have to catch a larger vision of the world. So here we see Peter with a total enemy of Israel. Not just Rome, but a Roman centurion. And brings salvation of Jesus to him. And there's me on the top of Diamond Head, Sherry and I, with someone that fought in World War II against my dad. And understanding and realizing God reaches out and forgives and mends and brings together. And it's awesome what he can do. And so it's quite incredible, this God of ours. Oh, he's an incredible God. And he's got this incredible, all-consuming love that's passionate for the peoples of the earth. And as we come to Christ, that's what he wants to make us. I love that film that George shows with a ex-terrorist with arm in arm with an Israeli. And they're walking together and talking together and fellowshipping. And George always goes, only Jesus could do this. Only Jesus. It's awesome what Jesus can do. And so let's go on now. And this was done three times. It's like the Lord is going, Peter, I'm going to give this to you three times. And at the end of three times, you better get it kind of thing. And that all were drawn up into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent from Caesarea to me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brothers, the Jewish brothers, accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house, Cornelius's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send me to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. And so Cornelius obeyed that. He sent some messengers to Joppa to find Peter and ask him, invited him to his home. And a good Jew would not go, because you don't eat with Gentiles. You don't go into Gentiles' homes. Who shall tell you words whereby you shall, and all your house shall be saved. And so the promise was Peter would say things that would save Cornelius and all of his Italian band. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them and on us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave the gift, a like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I should withstand God? And we never, ever, ever want to stand against the Lord. Amen. And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. And, you know, this last week, I know you probably know some of you, we're at a pastor's conference this last week, a glorious, wonderful pastor's conference. I tell you, Pastor Brian Broderson is the man. He's the man that God has chosen to take Pastor Chuck's place, and no one should doubt it. That place was full of pastors from all over the world. Brian was like a young kid at Christmas time. But he worked so hard to get that pastor's conference ready for a worldwide effect. And indeed it was. everyone was filled with the love of God. And we were singing our guts out. Man, when you get pastors together to sing their guts out to Jesus, and they're all going through the same thing, trying to minister to their flocks, man, that is one kind of song fest. And it was awesome. And so then the speaker's just speaking about the grace of God and how we need to reach out to one another. And I saw guys from Africa. Juventine was there. Remember Juventine? They came and preached to us here at the church. He's African. He's a doctor and a preacher. And he's praying more about church planting. He just wants to stop doctoring and do church planting. He's so in love with the Lord. Got to see him, and it was such a blessing. And guys from all over the world. And man, can you ever see and feel the strength and the power of the love of God when everybody from the world is standing in one room, loving each other with such a love and such a grace and such a, it's, you know, it's just, you can't put words to it. It was just fabulous.